Sunday morning here on Beat. You are listening to the Sunday Grill. We're here till 11 o'clock this morning. And have you ever considered a sober life? Well, if you have, you're certainly not alone. Rachel Dunphy's documentary Going Sober looks at the journey to sobriety, speaking to addiction services, those who run sober spaces, and the young people from the Southeast who've been through addiction themselves. In part one, we hear from Tipperary TikToker Owen, Sober Girl Society, and kinfolk in Wexford. This is Going Sober.
One of the big pieces, the age demographic has dropped. So now, when I started here, it would have been more normal 40s, 50s, 60s generations. And now it's more predominantly 20s and 30s.
Drinking was a problem for me nearly straight away because I wasn't drinking like the other, like my friends and all of that were. Like, I was like, I could see them drinking three or four cans and they kind of leave it at that, whereas I was always straight to the top shelf.
In a society where drugs and alcohol are readily available in every town and village across the country, it's no wonder more and more young people are struggling with addiction. Last year, the Oireachtas Health Committee was told that a report of the Citizens' Assembly on drug use found two-thirds of young people in Ireland engage in hazardous or binge drinking. This early use of alcohol can increase the risk of other substance use. The committee heard that 59% of 20-year-olds have tried cannabis and 28% have tried other substances. But what do you do when you realise that the substance use has taken over your life? How do you stop and where's the support? To try and get a sense of what it's like to be a young person in recovery, I came across Owen on TikTok.
So here are things that I wish I knew before getting into recovery in my early 20s. Number one is loneliness. You are going to be lonely sometimes, okay? But you have to remember that you are only going to be lonely for a short period of time. After a while, you're going to start liking your own company. You're going to start valuing your own company.
He shares his experiences with addiction to his tens of thousands of followers online. He sat down with me to share his story.
I was always so uncomfortable in my own skin. I always felt like I wasn't enough, and like I didn't know it was like I suffered with my mental health from such a young age. And I obviously, when you're young, you don't really know anything about that. So I didn't really know what it was. And then growing up along, I started drinking at a young enough age. I started drinking when I was probably 13, 14, like drinking was fairly, like, obviously as every other Irish household, like drinking is very prominent, and I started drinking really young and started bush drinking then in TY. But drinking was a problem for me nearly straight away because I could see them drinking three or four cans and they kind of leave it at that, whereas I was always straight to the top shelf. When I was drinking, it was the only time it took me away from my head. It took me away from how I felt. And then the drinking progressed, it was just getting worse and worse. I was drinking a lot. I was drinking nearly every weekend in TY. I loved my sports growing up. I played hurling the whole way up along. I loved my hurling. Hurling was a massive part of my life, and out of nowhere then it just hurling, I started picking drinking over hurling. I stopped playing sports. I completely got rid of it because I started drinking so much. And then obviously I found cocaine. When the first time I took cocaine was at my dibs. My drug of choice was cocaine. It wasn't any other drug. I never took any other drug. But cocaine, I took it at my dibs, and there was no progression in that either. It was literally 0 to 100 again. I took it. The first time I ever took it was at my dibs, and then a week later I bought my own bag. It didn't just get gradually worse. It was a problem straight away. And within the first 6-7 months of taking my first line of cocaine, I was in drug debts. I was racking up bills, and my family kind of started to figure out that there was a bit of a problem, and they were like, "What's going on?" And I had to get them to pay off some of my bills. And they it became a problem straight away. I have no mad stories or anything, nothing crazy. It was just, I could go Monday to Thursday without it, and I wouldn't even think about it. And then as soon as Thursday, Friday morning came around, I just got this itch where I had to get out of myself. I had to get away from myself, and I go get cocaine and I'd drink. And that was my weekends. That was how my weekends looked for literally 3 to 4 years. It was just crazy. And I wouldn't just go out and take one bag. I could spend €2,000 in a night. It was the amount I was taking was crazy. But I wasn't a daily user. But it, it, like, people don't understand is, like, you don't have to be a daily user to be a problem. It's when you take it, can you stop? And whenever I took a drink, I could not stop. And whenever I took a drug, I couldn't stop. And I never knew why I couldn't stop. But I understand now that I'm an addict. I'm a drug addict and I'm an alcoholic, and I always will be for the rest of my life. And I started trying to inspire other young people to know that, like, there's nothing wrong with you if you are a drug addict. There's nothing wrong with you if you're an alcoholic. Like, it's not your fault that, like... Like, what I try to preach is you like, don't be afraid to reach out. Please speak up, because I've no regrets about my past, because I feel like it made me the person that I am today. But the one thing I do regret is not speaking up sooner, that I was struggling with my mental health and that I didn't speak up about my drug problem and my alcohol problem earlier, because I might have been able to sort it earlier.
And Owen, I suppose, what's been your experience sharing your story on social media?
Oh, the response has been incredible since I started. But, like, again, it was never about followers or trying to get a big following or anything like that. Like, my whole goal when I started it was trying to help one young person. Like, it's not about anything else other than trying to help one young person who is like me and who thinks like me and who thinks that they're on their own and who thinks that just because they can't stop taking drinking drugs that they're different or that they're not a good person. Like, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. So that's why I started. Like, it's obviously uncomfortable. Like, anybody that sees my social media, like, my whole life is out there for everyone to see and all the bad things that I've done. But I was willing to do that because I know that I felt so alone for so long, and I felt like I was on my own for so long, and I just want one young person, male or female, obviously, to see it and be like, okay, well, like, he's like, I see his stuff and that's what I'm like, so maybe there is a way out. And obviously it's to try and motivate them as well to see where I am now, to be like, well, if he pulled himself out of it, I can pull myself out of it. It's always been about one person.
The shift towards a less alcohol-focused society has been slower coming to Ireland than in other parts of Europe. Sober groups have been skyrocketing across the world since the 2010s. One of them is Sober Girl Society, the UK's largest sober curious group for young women, founded by Millie Gooch.
When I used to first tell people, so I got sober 8 years ago, when I first used to tell people that I didn't drink, they looked at me like I'd grown a second head. Whereas now it's kind of like, oh yeah, like, my friend doesn't drink, or like, I took a month off last year. Like, it seems to be, I always call it 6 degrees of sober separation, where everyone seems to like know someone who like doesn't drink or gave up drinking. So it's a much better time now to tell people that you don't drink. I think, you know, though, over the last few years, on the positive side, we've seen so many more like celebrities openly talk about their sobriety, which is great. So many being vocal and being really honest about it as well. So I think we're seeing that, you know, the rise of alcohol-free drinks is huge, and the rise of kind of like spaces and activities that don't revolve around alcohol. So yeah, there's some positive things and some negative.
And it's intimidating being maybe the only one in the friend group who doesn't drink alcohol or doesn't want to go out every weekend to drink. I suppose, what would you say to anyone that's really interested in sober lifestyles or sober curiosity, but just is a little bit nervous to take that first step?
Yeah, I think you just don't have anything to lose by trying it. Like, give it a go for a month, give it a go for 2 months. Like, what's the worst that can happen if you give it a go versus if you just keep going along the same path that you're going along? So that's the only thing I would say. And like, you can do it slowly. You don't have to like decide tomorrow that you're going to go sober. You can say, you know, I'm going to take a week off, a month off. You've got amazing things like Dry January and Dry July now, and, you know, Sober October. There's a month for it that you can always do. And I think just, you know, start breaking up your Instagram feed with maybe some sobriety accounts. Maybe think about reading a book about it, learning a bit more, listening to a podcast. I think you could, like, the whole point of being sober curious is to actually get curious and to learn. So I think that's the first thing I would say, is don't feel like you've got to wake up tomorrow and be like, I'm sober now and I'm never going to drink again. Like, just have a little dip your toe in the water, see what's out there, maybe go to a sober event, all that kind of thing.
Today, socialising comes in a lot more shapes and forms than it did 10 years ago when we were just going to the pub. There's been a massive increase in sober socialising in Ireland over the last few years, making sure we can be inclusive outside of just a nightclub. Alfie O'Sullivan runs Kinfolk, a late cafe in Wexford town. Once a week, they run a sober DJ night.
For us, We feel like the drinking culture has changed a lot, especially since COVID. People are a lot more health conscious, or they just don't want to go to pubs so much anymore. It's an expensive night out, but they still want that connection. They still want to have fun and enjoy themselves. I think there's this thing that when you're not drinking, you can't go out and enjoy yourself as much. So we know that. I don't drink personally, so I know that's not to be true. I still want to go out. I still want to have a good time. So we feel, well, why don't we do it? The culture is very different in Europe, and Ireland does kind of lag behind a little bit. Our culture is approached very differently. There's a lot of sober events and stuff. I'm from London. My partner, she's from Czech, and we've got a lot of friends spread around the world, and the culture's changing everywhere. And it's very exciting. It's an exciting time.
If you or someone you know has been touched by addiction, help is out there. You can call the HSE Drugs and Alcohol Helpline on 1800 459 459, contact services such as Asherie, Tiglin and Coonvara, or you can text about it to 50808.
Across the southeast on this Sunday morning, you are listening to Beat, and it's time for part two of Rachel Dunphy's documentary Going Sober. And in part one, we heard about the appetite for more sober spaces for people to socialise in and how hard it can be to make the decision to stop when you're in an addiction. Now, Rachel has made the trip to Asherie to hear from those helping young people in the southeast through addiction.
People in Dublin are using more ket but less coke and less MDMA. That's according to recent research which tested the toilet.
Ireland is now fourth highest in the world for cocaine use. Does this figure surprise you, or do you just think, nah, could have told you that?
I've just arrived at Asherie in Kerr, County Tipperary, one of the country's largest treatment centres for people living with addictions.
So my role, I'm over all four centres that Asherie offers services in across the southeast. We're in Tipperary, Waterford, Kilkenny and Wexford. And my role is head of clinical, so basically oversight of all the clinical treatment and work that we do with people to help them move from the horror of addiction basically into recovery. That's our ultimate goal, is to help people to move into recovery.
Earlier, I introduced you to Sarah Cassidy from Asherie. She's the head of clinical services at Asherie in the southeast, where they work with people living with alcohol, drug and gambling addictions. Sober sobriety, sober curious, seems to be the latest buzzwords. But here at Asherie, they've been working towards recovery and sobriety for over 40 years. So, what is a day like at Asherie for someone going through treatment?
I'm with Asherie like 20 years now. And I wouldn't be here this long only for the fact that it is so diverse. No day, 2 days are the same. It's the most extraordinary place, realistically, irregardless of which centre you're actually in. We're in Tipperary today, but any of our centres are extraordinary. So for a person coming to treatment and they're with us, say, in Asherie and Kerr, you're talking a very diverse group, very diverse range of people from every walk of life, from anywhere in Ireland and beyond. And within their day in treatment, they're being helped really look at what has happened with their life in regards to substance misuse or compulsive gambling. The one commonality for every individual that walks in the door of any of the Asherie services is pain, that they're in a desperate level of pain. So that can be the greatest bonder, if you like, in regards to the groups when they come. But like I said, you can have anybody, you know, from a guard to a teacher to somebody that's struggling, committing crime in the street. You know, you've such a big range of people, because addiction could not care less where you came from, or what you have or what you don't have. Addiction will eventually take everything. One of the big pieces, the age demographic has dropped. So now, when I started here, it would have been more normal 40s, 50s, 60s generations. And now it's more predominantly 20s and 30s. Every single person, from the smallest baby to the eldest person in the family, is affected by addiction. Everybody, even if they don't live in the same house, it's like everybody's affected, and a major cloud over the family, you know, that affects everything. All the attention goes on what he or she is up to nowadays, or not doing nowadays, or where are they now. So equally, the help and recovery can be miraculous for families, because the relief, and they start to realize how life could be without this cloud over them any longer. It's incredible, and they can focus on themselves and start to improve. Sometimes, and a lot of times, families can become even more unwell than the person that's come for treatment because of the stress and the ducking and diving and dishonesty and broken trust and heartache.
Sarah introduced me to Gary, who came through the recovery program at Asherie. Now, almost 3 years on, he's a member of staff here, working with service users, helping them at one of the most vulnerable times of their lives with lived experience.
So I came to Asherie in care maybe just over 3 years ago. I presented with a lot of substance abuse issues, alcoholism, and I had a long 20-year history with substances and addiction. I was taken back from the start. I spent lots of time throughout the years, I suppose, in and out of treatment centres, and never completely kind of surrendering to a programme or somebody else's way of doing things, because I like to do things my way. And when I got here, I was met with kindness, and I was really taken back by it, because it's something I wasn't used to, I suppose. I was used to being met with just nastiness. And so yeah, I was taken back when I was met with complete kindness and just accepted for who I was and where I was at the time, I suppose. I just came back recently and joined the team here. But life has been fantastic in recovery. I do lots of work in the community in Waterford and helping other addicts and alcoholics recover and stuff like that. In order for an alcoholic or an addict to stay sober, I think it's really important that you go back and you help other alcoholics and addicts recover.
Now in recovery from an addiction to alcohol and drugs, Gary explained to me that his time in Asherie helped him reflect on himself and what he's been through, and to grow as a person.
Things get better. It takes time. When you first come in, you want to fix everything straight away. And I was very much like that myself. I wanted to fix everything and fix everybody. And I needed to just stop and slow down and look at the reason why I was here. It's much more than just a substance. It goes a lot deeper. The substance is probably just the solution at the end of the problem. And I got the opportunity, I suppose, over time to go back and look at why the addiction, why the substance, why all the other issues that surrounded it, the homelessness, the prison, all that kind of stuff. And you have to go back and ask yourself that fundamental question of, why did I end up in this place? And I did, and I got to go back through therapy, and there's all different stages to it. So you spend your 4 weeks here, and then you can travel on to your secondary treatment in Waterford for another 6 months, and go on to sober living, and go back to education, and there's a process.
Yeah.
But all the time you're reflecting back, and you're looking at your journey, and you're asking yourself them really important questions. Why,
I might just mention the last half an hour, but it seems that things are really on the up, and it's coming to Asherie really, really changed things for you.
It's been life changing. I get to do some amazing work because of my recovery, and I get to show other people how it works, and just to even see someone come back to life after real deep addiction, there's something special in it. Mm. You know, you get to see the hope coming back into their eyes, and you get to see a bit of colour coming back into their face, and it's incredible.
But what's life like when the support system isn't there each morning and each night, and you're the one who has to prioritise yourself? I'm at SETU in Carlow to meet Rosemary Flynn. She's the Director of Lifelong Learning at the university. Her department is the first in the country to team up with a number of addiction recovery organisations, offering service users the chance to gain a qualification while going through active recovery.
So what we've done through this project is we've brought the higher education setting into the recovery setting. What I can tell you is that in terms of recovery capital, what the research tells us is that can be built. Okay, so when you undertake higher education, that's an asset to you. You've just built an asset that you can now rely on. And something like higher education it's probably worth more than some of the other assets that you can build. So you can hand someone a house to live in, you know, which is fabulous and all that. But if you give someone education, then they can perhaps go on to do more education. They can perhaps go into the workplace. They've developed critical thinking skills. They've developed research skills, ethical decision making, group work, all of those skills. And they can perhaps have a career. Then they can afford maybe to buy their own house, you know, and they can become lifelong learners in their own right if they want to. But it really does impact a person more broadly, I suppose, than just, oh, I did a cert. It impacts their intrinsic value to themselves.
Earlier, Owen McGrath shared his story of addiction and recovery. I asked him what advice he'd give to anyone worried about a friend or a loved one who might be struggling.
Don't try push anything on them, because if they're not ready to speak about it, they're not going to speak about it and they're not going to change. And I know that's not what people want to hear. It's not really what family members want to hear. But you, all you can do is tell them you're there for them, be there for them and be ready to support them when they're ready.
If you or someone you know has been touched by addiction, help is out there. You can call the HSE Drugs and Alcohol Helpline on 1800 459 459. Contact services such as Asheree, Tiglin and Coonvora. Or you can text about it to 50808.
Going Sober, a Beat News documentary.